Good morning and welcome to Focus 314 and happy Mother's Day. I'm so happy to be able to be here today with you on Mother's Day. And I have to say that I think that most of you are here today because of a mother. I have two little ones, maybe you know, I have two little ones at home and they definitely are still alive today because of their mother. So you may be alive today because of a woman sitting near you. Let's turn to someone near you and say, thank you for keeping me alive, mama or wife or daughter or anybody. Wife, that woman is keeping you alive today. My mama definitely kept me alive. I had a very adventurous spirit as a young girl. And one of the things that we like to do, I grew up in the Midwest and actually in Wisconsin, so pretty far up north. It was pretty cold up there. But when we vacationed, and maybe this was the case where you grew up, if you grew up in the Midwest as well, but when we vacationed in the summer, we said we were going up north. So it wasn't actually like a city somewhere. Up north was like this weird place somewhere up north, and you could be going anywhere in any of those places. But everybody at school, when they were going on vacation, they'd say, we're going up north. You'd think being as far up north as we are, we would choose to go south to something a little bit warmer, but there were a lot of lakes and trees, and so we decided to go up north. And I was very blessed because when my grandparents were first married, they bought a piece of property. And they bought it on the Assemblies of God campgrounds up there. And it's the best campground that I've ever seen. It's built on this beautiful spring-fed lake. And it's just gorgeous, lots of trees and everything. Well, they bought this flat piece of land up north, and they had this piece of land, and it was right on the intersection. It didn't have any vegetation or anything on it. Didn't even have a place for them to stay. So they built the cabin, and my grandmother, in her wisdom, since it was right on an intersection there, she decided, and she took some small evergreen seedlings, and she went and she planted them all along the side so we could have some privacy and the kids could have some safety as well. So we had all of these evergreen trees on the property, and my mama definitely kept me alive because I wanted to climb those evergreen trees as a kid. That's me. So I have a couple of pictures here. So that tree that's right in the middle there that you see me climbing on, the story is that my grandmother finished planting all of them around the outside, and my great-grandmother, we called her Oma, she decided to plant one right in the middle of the property. So that's the tree. That was my climbing tree right in the middle of the property. So my mama definitely kept me alive. That's me and my younger sister, Joanna. And we got up there pretty high, but my mama taught me. She told me to keep three limbs, my two legs and a hand on at one time while you're climbing. And she taught me lots of different things to make sure that I was safe. So she definitely kept me alive while I was growing up. And another way that she kept me alive, not just my personal body, maybe you have a mama like this, my mama kept my spiritual body alive as well. She was one of those mamas that was going to church every Sunday and making sure that her family was there with. And I think honestly, I was trying to count back, I think honestly in my 34 years on this earth, I probably missed less than 20 Sundays in church. So I've been in church, I grew up in church, and my mama made sure of that. And she was the kind of mama that when I was a teenager and I'd roll out of bed and I was tired from playing with my friends that night, going out and doing stuff, and I'd roll out of bed and I'd say, Mom, can I just maybe sleep in and not go to church this Sunday? And she'd say, Jenny, you have two choices. She was really, really into choices, making sure that we made our own choices. So she said, the first choice is that you can go to church. Get up, get ready, and come to church with me. And the second choice is, I will kill you, and we will put you in a casket, and you'll go to church anyway. And we'll have a funeral there. So my mama made sure I was in church. There was not a choice for me. I was going to church every Sunday, and I am so thankful for my mom. And maybe you have a mom like that, too, or somebody in your life that made sure that your spiritual life was in check and that you were there in church. You get a chance. My mom's actually coming to visit in a couple weeks. She'll get the first chance to come and see Focus 314. Jude's having a kindergarten graduation. That's a thing now, graduating from kindergarten. So he's having a kindergarten graduation, and she's coming to visit. So if you see her, her name's Ingrid. Say, Ingrid, thanks for keeping Jenny alive, because she totally did. So mamas are so great. But seriously, moms, you are wonderful. And when people tell you today that you are loved, hear it and seep it and let it go deep into your hearts, because you are loved, you are cherished, and we are so thankful for you and what you do in our lives every single day. Okay, so if you haven't met me yet, I want to introduce myself, that I'm Jenny. I wanted to tell you a story about myself. You got to know me a little bit. I'm Jenny, and I'm married to the amazing Pastor Darren that was up here at first. And I just want to add a little disclaimer that I am not Darren. So when I'm speaking and when I'm getting excited about stuff, I may not be quite as exciting or as entertaining as he is. I'm me. And my background is in education, so I'm a little bit more of a teacher than I am of an exciting preacher like my husband is. So give me grace in that area. So so today we're starting a new series, and the series is called Closer, and we're going to be focusing on worship. And worship is something that you cannot escape from. No matter what your thoughts, philosophy, or theology is, it doesn't even matter if you believe in God at all. There is worship in our lives, and you cannot get away from it. I'm going to suggest to you today that we are made to worship. Do I need to fix this? Is it good? Okay, I'm good. I have a little bit more hair than my husband, too, so when we put the mic on today, we had to finagle the hair around, too, so... So maybe when you think about worship, you think about kind of a formal setting. You think about, or maybe you just think about singing songs. Or maybe you think about a heavily liturgical or religious setting. Well, those things are all great, and they're great to be a part of. But worship is when you are expressing your love to something. And it doesn't just have to be on Sunday morning in that worship setting. It can be in many different areas. In fact, I would suggest that you probably worship a lot of things in your life. Whatever it is that you really, really, really like doing. Maybe you love to play football or soccer. That's your sport. And you try to squeeze it in every conversation that you're having. I know I have a husband like that. He likes to squeeze sports in every conversation that he's having. That's a little bit of that passion that you have inside your heart. This is my chance to get back at him for all the times he talks about me. So I got to get as many in as I can in there. So whatever it is that you're passionate about, maybe it's hiking or camping, something that you are loyal to, that your money goes there, your adoration goes there, it's on your schedule. We are creatures of worship. We are worshiping things in our life, and God doesn't say that's a bad thing. He wants us to worship those things, but we are made to worship more than just the things that are around us. We are made to worship above all else and get closer with our God. Now, God says it's okay to love those, so don't forget that, and love them more than not love them more than we love him. So worship is our response to what we value the most. Whatever it is that you really, really, really like, and responding to it in a great way. So let's look at the way that we were very first made. And you may know in the scriptures that at the very beginning of the Bible is when the creation story happens. So the first scripture that we're going to take a look at is in Genesis. Genesis 1, chapter 11. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land." I thought it was interesting when I read this that God allowed the land to produce vegetation. He didn't command, "Let there be trees." He allowed the land to produce vegetation. When he was creating things and when he was making things, and I'm going to suggest to you that there's a difference between when he created and when he made something. When he was creating things, for instance, light, he did just say, "Let there be light," and poof, there was light. And he did just say, "Let there be land," and poof, there was land. But in this scripture, it doesn't say, "Let there be trees," and poof, there were trees. It says, "Let the land produce vegetation." So there was he made the trees out of the land. There was a special connection between the tree and the land. And he did that on purpose. And if you take that tree away from that land, it's not going to survive. The tree can't survive. It can't grow. It can't become anything. It will die when it's away from the land. So he chose to make those trees from the land, to come up from the land. And you can also see that when he made woman. So God created man, and then he chose to create and make woman from man. He could have created woman just as he created man, but he actually took all of the animals that were ever created, and he paraded them in front of Adam, and Adam looked at all of them and he didn't find a suitable partner. Nobody was good enough for him. So he named all of those animals. And then it was at that point that God knew that he needed to make something that had a connection to Adam. And so he chose to make Eve, the first woman, from Adam. He took something, he took the rib from Adam, and he made Eve from it. He didn't just say, let there be woman. He made it from. So there are things that he created, like light and land, and there are things that he made from. We see it in the land, we see it with man and woman, and we can see the same distinction when he makes mankind in general. God created mankind with intentionality and purpose. God made in our utmost being the desire to worship. It is not something that you can escape. And we're going to look at three things this morning, three specific truths on how they relate to worship. Let's read in Genesis where he's creating humankind, man. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image. God did not say, let there be life, and there was life. He chose to make us from him. We have that connection, just like the tree has the connection to the earth. If we are away from him, we cannot live. We will die. And just like the tree will die when it is away from the land, he made us from him. So the first truth I want you to see is that God made me from him. And if you're following alone on your talk notes, that's the first point there. This is a connection and a relationship between you and God that was made from him. Those deep passions that you have feelings for deep down, those are passions that were birthed in God. They're a piece of him because you were made from him. And those pieces, that strong love that you can feel for your spouse, or that strong love that you can feel for your kids or your sister, whoever you love, that love is just a piece of what God's love feels for us. So we were made from him to feel those things and to be in that way. Maybe you're thinking, I'm pretty sure that in Sunday school I learned that we were made from the dirt and that God created us from dirt, not directly from him. Well, that's true in our physical bodies. Our physical bodies came from dirt. They're sustained by dirt. We eat the produce, the stuff that comes up from the dirt. So they were made, they were sustained, and eventually we'll go back to dirt. We'll return to dirt. And that's the same way with our soul, when I'm talking about. We were made from God. We are sustained from God, and eventually we will return to God. And so that is the dichotomy that I want you to see right there, that we came from God. We were made from God. We are connected and made from God, just like the tree is connected to the land. God made you from him. God sustains us. We need God. And even if you don't believe in him, even if he's some distance far off God to you, if that's the truth, if you believe that, then even so, that God has created you deep within, that you can feel that there is something that is pulling you to worship in this world. God never intended us to be far from him. He made us so that we would have that connection and we would have that closeness. So number two is, God made you to be with him. Maybe you've known someone who is an avid churchgoer, but they have this perception of God as having a formal relationship. They don't really like God. They don't even really love God. And they just go and they do it out of obligation. And they feel like, or maybe they call themselves Christians or God-following people. They go out of obligation and not out of celebration. But God did not create us to have that formal, distant, unconnected relationship. In fact, the scriptures say in Matthew that some of us who call ourselves Christians will go to those pearly gates when time comes and we get to see our Maker, and we will say to God, I called you Lord, but you will not even let me enter. And that is because there are people who call themselves Christians today who have missed the point. It is not the obligation of coming to church, of serving, of tithing. It is not the obligation that he is looking for. It's a celebration of being close to him and having that closer relationship with him. That is so heavy for me to think about, that some of us that call ourselves Christians and are devoted Christians will have to stand in front of him and to see that look on his face, that you were so close. If only you could have come closer to me. God never created us to have religion. He created us to have relationship. Following God is not about the list of to-dos and the list of don'ts. It's not about that obligation. It's about celebration. Let me say this. If you don't love to follow the principles of God, the principles that he's laid out, you might need to take a look at your relationship and your attitude towards God. If you don't love coming here and serving at church and serving your community, you might have to take a look at your relationship with God. And if you don't love being generous with your money and your time, you might need to check that attitude and your relationship with God. Because we don't do these things because we have to. We do them because we want to. We get to. God, our creator, our maker, this heavenly being, he's allowed us to get close enough to be able to have that relationship, that closeness with him. Look at how much God loves you. Let's look at this next scripture in Ephesians. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two of them will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. Maybe you've heard this scripture said before. You might have heard it at a wedding when you see two newlyweds that are coming together, and you think, oh, that's so sweet. They're united together in love. But did you catch that last line down there at the bottom? But I'm talking about Christ and the church. So this whole section of scripture in Ephesians is talking about the relationship between married people, and specifically newly married people. So maybe you remember, married people, that feeling that you have when you're very, very fresh and very new, and you get that excitement and that little twinkle in your eye, and you're just so excited about that relationship that you have. Well, that is the relationship that God is comparing us to. It's the closest earthly relationship that he has that he can compare the love that he wants for us to. And so he's looking at this newlywed couple and he's saying, I want you to have that twinkle in your eye for me. I want you to be closer to me. I want you to go back to those newlywed days, that feeling that you have. He describes it again in Revelation. Revelation is a book in the Bible that speaks about many of the things that will happen in the end times. And so this says, in the end times, one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came to me and said, come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So what I want you to see from that is that he calls you his bride. Again, he's relating to us in that fashion. There's no relationship on earth that is as close as the relationship that God wants for us than that of that newlywed, that bride. And he calls us that over and over again, that he wants us to have that closeness, that feeling that we have. This is how close he wants us to be to him. Darren and I, when we were very first dating, we were kind of at the end of our college years. I was student teaching, and he was finishing up his coursework. And we both lived off campus. We had done the live on campus thing, kind of done with that. And so we lived off campus. We both had roommates. But the unfortunate thing was I lived on one end of town, and he lived on the totally other end of town. And so it was difficult for us to find time to get together and to hang out. And so I was doing my student teaching, and so I had long, full days, and I really wanted to find a way to be able to spend time with him. And so when I came home from working with those kids all day, I didn't want to grade papers, and I didn't want to hang out with my roommate anymore. I wanted my love. I wanted to be close to him, and I wanted to hang out with him, and I wanted to get to know him, and I just desired that so much. So he would come, and he would drive from all the way across town. He would meet me right at the same time that I was coming home from work. So then we could spend the rest of the afternoon together, and then I could have that time to get to know him and to have that, you know, like I was talking about, that newlywed, that spark, that sizzle, you know, that you have when you're first getting to know somebody. But what I didn't know at the time was that when he left his house, in order to get to my house in time for me to get home from work, he had to go through rush hour traffic. And so it was like terrible rush hour traffic. Like it generally took about a half an hour to get to my house. And when he'd have to leave, then it took an hour and a half to get to my house. So he did this on a consistent basis. And he would come, he would drive, he would be in that stressful situation just so that he could come and spend that time with me. And he didn't do that. He didn't do that because I required him to do it. I didn't make a covenant and say, you must sign this and you must come and see me at this time. He didn't do that because I made him do it. He did it because he was celebrating together. He loved me. He wanted to be with me just as much as I wanted to be with him. And so he was willing to make that sacrifice and take that time to come over and to see me. And I used to dream about that day when we didn't have to have that distance between us. I would dream about that day, and I don't know, I mean, maybe some of you single ladies still do, but I mean, really, I really dreamt about the day when we would get up in the morning on a Sunday morning and get ready for church together. I mean, that was just something that I wanted to have. And then later, after we were married, I wanted him to get away from my sink so I could get ready for church in the morning. But that was something that I really, like, desired in my heart, just to do those things, to fall asleep watching a movie with him, just to be able to be close to him and be close on a regular basis. And I kind of imagine God is longing for us in that way when we are distant from, when we are not that newlywed, when we are not sick together, when we are not close and he is far away. He has those longing moments for just those everyday mundane things that he wants from you. He wants just a quick prayer. He wants you to talk to him. He wants you to tell him about your day. And he doesn't want that distance to be something that's keeping you apart. He wants you to be willing to go the extra mile and to come and to meet him where he is so that you can have that closeness. God made you from him. God made you to be with him. And all he wants from you is for you to love him back. God made you to express love to him. Let's look at John chapter 4, verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for they are the kind of worshipers that the Father seeks. God isn't obsessed with somebody who is a fantastic tither. God isn't obsessed with somebody who is in church and serving every Sunday. He's not obsessed with that person. He's thankful that they do tithe. He's thankful that they are servants. But that's not what he's obsessed with. He's obsessed with having that closer relationship with you. That is what he wants above all else for you in your life, is to have that closer, intimate relationship with him. That word worship that you see in the text, can you put the text back up there again? Is a loose translation. You might know that the Bible was translated from its original language to our English language, and this portion of the scriptures was written in Greek, and there's not really a word that completely translates over. But the scholars have said that word worship actually means, when he's talking about the true worshipers, it actually means kiss. And not like the passionate kiss between a man and a woman, but like a puppy dog kiss. Like a kiss between a master and his puppy dog. And the nibbling, so we were dog people. We definitely love dogs. And I mean, let's be honest, you don't truly own a cat. A cat owns you. So we're dog people. We don't have a dog right now, but if we ever add a pet to the mix, it will definitely be a dog. We're dog people. Now, dogs, they just love you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter who you are. They're going to love you. They're going to come, especially if you're their master. They're going to come up to you, and they're going to give you those kisses and hugs and cuddles. And as soon as you walk in the door, it doesn't matter if you've been gone 10 minutes or 10 hours, they're going to treat you the same way as soon as you walk into the door. Every single time. I actually heard a comedian once say that dogs, you can tell that dogs love you even more than your spouse. And here's how. Just lock the two of them in the trunk of a car for an hour and come back and see who's happy to see you. So you know that dogs are going to, it's still going to love you. You can see it. It's going to be there like, yip, 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 yip. even though you were just locked in the trunk of a car for an hour. But, so they love you more than your spouse, because your spouse sure isn't going to be happy when that happens. But dogs have that unconditional, over-the-top love that you just can't really mimic in the relationship. So that's the word that God is using here when he's talking about true worshipers and being closer to us in our relationship. He wants you to have that relationship in that way. God desires for our worship to be that of like a dog. He wants us to come into church and he wants us to be like that. Yep, 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 yep. I'm here, God. I'm here. I'm going to sit in the front row. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. I want you to meet me here. I really love you, God. Please meet me here. It's kind of almost even annoying, but he wants you to. You know those annoying dogs. You've seen them before, but he wants that from you. He wants that true worshiper. He wants that true worshiper just like a dog. That dog kiss is what that word means right there. Have you ever gone on a long trip and come home to the airport and there was nobody to see you there when you got off the airplane? Kind of not exciting. You go on a long trip, you come home, what do you want to see? You want to see a whole bunch of people and signs and balloons, people excited to see you. That is what God wants from you. He wants that closer relationship with you. He is not happy with this far-off, distant, white-beard man that you might think that he is, or that he might have become without you knowing it, at a far distance and way off here. And I think that's probably one of the things that religion gets wrong today. Religion thinks that if we follow the rules and we do everything right, that we're gonna make it. We're gonna be good. We're pleasing God. But that's not the truth. What he wants is that closer relationship with you. He is obsessed with having that closer relationship with you. Maybe you're feeling like you are far away from that love today. But we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity every day to make that change, to take that step, to be able to, just like when Darren and I were dating, to take that step, to bridge that gap so that we can be there and we can work on relationship and that we can grow it together. Would you guys bow your heads with me and let's have a little bit of time with God ourselves. Let's search within our hearts and let's think about where our relationship is with God. Is it at that point where you are looking away and you see God as this white beard man who has a set of rules? Or are you closer? Are you at that newlywed stage where you are just excited to be with him, to be in his presence? You have that twinkle in your eye. People say to you, what is different about you? Because you have that. Do you have that puppy dog love for him? Are you excited to be in God's presence? Are you excited to serve for him? Are you excited to be generous for him? Look inside your heart. What do you see? What do you see? Are you close? Are you closer? I think we always could be just a little bit closer to God. I want to tell you that God is ready to bridge that gap with you, and he is waiting. And he is sitting there almost like on the opposite end, like that expectant puppy, waiting for you to just open the door so that you guys can get closer and be in love and have that time together. And if you are ready to be excited about the things, not the things of this earth and to worship the things of this earth, but to be excited about the things that God has for you, to be excited about that relationship. That's what we want to do today, and to take this time to be able to do that. Our humanness does not give us a choice in worshiping. We will worship. We will worship something in our lives. But the choice that we have is who or what we will worship. So dig deep inside of your hearts. Think about that. Who or what gives you that puppy dog excitement? Is it God? We're going to take a moment to pray. And I can't pray for you, but I can help you with the words. So as we're saying these words, if you would please just think them along inside your heart. And as we're praying these words, if you would just be strong, strong enough to admit the closeness that you want inside, to be able to have that close personal relationship with God. before we say the prayer, I want you to have the opportunity to be able to surrender up to God. So if you feel like you are ready to have a closer, intimate relationship with God, I'd like to give you the chance to raise your hand right now to be able to say, God, I am ready. I do not want anymore to have this distant relationship with you. I don't want to not enjoy the times that I get to come along with you and to be alongside you. I want to just desire, just like that puppy, to be with you at all times. If you have that feeling, now's a chance for you to raise your hand and to say, God, that is me, and I want to be closer. I want to offer myself up to you completely. I desire to be closer to you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. God, please forgive me because I have loved others. And today I'm redirecting my love to you. Come live inside of me and be the Lord of my life. Help me to love you like I know you deserve. God, I want to be closer to you. Church, let's take a moment to work on that closeness to God. If you would stand up, Wendy and the worship team here is ready, and we're going to sing a worship song because I wanted to give you the opportunity, and you'll have the opportunity throughout this worship series to be able to work on that relationship with God. So as we're worshiping now, keep in mind that closeness that God wants to have with you. Thank you, Wendy.